So, if you'd like to help out the Gideons today, you can put an offering in the container back there and just mark it on the envelope or whatever. Just put Gideons, and then we'll in turn write them a check and get that to them for the work that they do. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. It very much goes along with what the Gideons do. I was reading the book of Romans earlier this week, and this particular verse, when I came across it, just kind of stood out to me. And Romans 1:16, Paul is writing here. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." In other words, Paul was saying, "I'm not ashamed of the message that the gospel has." Paul was saying, "I'm not ashamed to express myself or how I feel about the gospel." Paul was not anywhere ashamed of what this gospel is. And then he goes on to say, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone," say everyone, "that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Then he said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the Apostle Paul, he made this statement about the gospel. And he said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We should not be ashamed of the message, what it contains, what it has in it. We should not be ashamed. We should have confidence. As a matter of fact, we should be bold about our partnership with the gospel, with the message of Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to be ashamed? I had to look that up because I kind of knew, but you know, then I just wanted to be sure. And to be ashamed means to have feelings of shame or guilt, to be reluctant through fear. How many times have we been reluctant to say that we side with the gospel, but we're reluctant because of fear? Oh, you're one of those people. You're one of those Christians. You know, how many times have we said, "Oh, you know, I'll just be silent"? Well, that's part of being ashamed. And it means to be embarrassed or humiliated or unwilling or uncomfortable. Now, Paul was saying, he said, "I'm not embarrassed about the gospel. I am not ashamed. I am not unwilling to proclaim my allegiance to the gospel." Now, you're talking about a man by the name of Paul who formerly was Saul. You know what his former occupation was? He persecuted the church. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But we're talking about a guy who he experienced hard suffering for the gospel's sake, but yet he was still able to say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation." So there is power in the gospel. There is power in the message. Now, that word shame means a painful feeling brought about by a strong sense of guilt. You know, we have nothing to be guilty about by believing the gospel and everything that contains, that is within the gospel. We should not be ashamed. We should not feel guilty. We should not draw back. We should not lack courage in expressing to someone our love for the gospel. Why? Because the gospel changed my life. The gospel was the power of God that brought me in to salvation. When I believed the gospel, when I heard the gospel, Something took place in my heart. It was a yearning and a compelling that I had to respond. My heart was ready. And the night that I heard the gospel, I was willing to respond. Prior to that, I was unwilling because maybe I hadn't really heard the gospel. You know, you can hear a lot of things and not hear the gospel. But Paul was saying, and look at verse 15. I want you to see something here. He said, so much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Once Paul came into the knowledge of the gospel, he became a spokesman for the gospel. He found out that he was called to be a preacher, an apostle of the gospel of Christ. And everywhere he went, no matter whether he was in prison, whether he was in this country, whether he was on the ship, wherever he went, he made sure that he preached the gospel. He also lived the gospel too. Because if you don't live it, your preaching isn't going to have much power behind it. I'm going to read it to you in a couple different translations. The New Living Translation says, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. Say good news. The gospel is about good news. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Jews first and also Gentiles. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. The English version says this, I have complete confidence in the gospel. It is God's power to save all who believe, first the Jews and also the Gentiles. For the gospel reveals how God puts people right with himself. It is through faith from beginning to end. I like that. From beginning to end. Amen? That's what faith is. Faith starts and faith doesn't quit. Faith is perseverant. Faith holds on. And then the Darby version says this, for I am not ashamed of the glad tidings. Say glad tidings. Did you know that the message of the gospel will put a smile on your face? For it is God's power to salvation to everyone that believes, both Jew first and to Greek. For the righteousness of God is revealed therein. So here was the great apostle Paul who wrote half the New Testament. Now, prior to coming into the knowledge of the gospel, he must have experienced some guilt and some shame about it for him to say that I am not ashamed of the gospel. How did he get to that point when he could boldly say, I am not ashamed? Say that with me again. Say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Say this. Say, I don't apologize for what the gospel message contains. We shouldn't apologize for healing. We shouldn't apologize for salvation. We shouldn't apologize for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? All those things are contained within the gospel. And that message, the message of the gospel, it releases a power that causes you to be saved. It causes you to be delivered from sin. It causes you to be free. When you come in contact with the gospel and you believe it, you activate that power to you and it becomes effective working in you. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But you got to believe it. You can't just hear it. Oh yeah, that's good. That's good. No, you've got to believe it. It takes a full heart commitment. It takes you to get intimate with Jesus. We're going to get into that in a little bit. So, go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're going to get into the gospel in a little bit. But I want to encourage you not to be ashamed, not to be reluctant, not to be unwilling to participate in the gospel. You know what? Christianity is a participant sport. There's no room to sit on the sidelines unless you're praying. Amen. Come on now. You got to get in the game. You can't watch everybody else play the game. You know, we used to do a skit in college. It was called the phone skit. And it involved a person sitting next to a phone. And this person would say, oh, I'm going to do great things for God. And I'm going to go here and I'm going to go here. And meanwhile, while they were waiting by the phone, someone would come, hey, do you want to go to a Bible study? Oh, no, I've got to wait to make sure I get this phone call. I don't want to miss this phone call. Okay. And then they would talk about how great things they're going to do for God. Then another person would come and say, you want to go witnessing? Oh, no, I don't want to miss my phone call. Because I don't have time to go witness. I don't want to miss the phone call. Because when God calls, I'm going to do great things. And then finally someone else comes and invites them to something else. They're still waiting by the phone. And then the phone rings. And the person's all excited. And they pick up the phone. And they say, hello, God. And then they said, oh, it's for you. It was for the person who was doing something. Not for the person who was waiting around for things to happen and just talking about it. Look at your neighbor and smile and say, get in the game. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. He says this, for the scripture says, say scripture. Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Come on now. When you believe in God, when you put your trust in God, you will never be put to shame. You will never be ashamed. Why? Because the gospel will never let you down. The gospel will be your best friend. It will comfort you when you're hurting. It will give you peace when there's turmoil. The gospel will pick you up when you're down. The gospel will give you joy when you're sad. Why? Because it's got transforming power. Did he say never? You shall not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. I don't know about you, but that does something good to me. You will never have to worry about God not backing up his word. You will never have to worry as to whether or not this gospel, does it really work or does it not work? It works all the time. It will never fail. And when you put your trust in it, you'll never be ashamed. Now, if you put your trust in the world, the devil will embarrass you. The devil will bring you, he'll cause you to do things you never wanted to do, pay things you never wanted to pay, and go to places you never wanted to go. It'll always ask more of you. Go with me to Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. And he said, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. When you put your hope in God, it will never disappoint you. It will never cease to do what it said it was going to do. Come on now. Hope will never make you ashamed. When you put your hope in God, it's like building your house on the rock. You know, storms are going to come. Winds are going to blow. Whether you're built on the rock or whether you're built on the sand, storms of life are going to come. But what's going to make the difference is the foundation that you're rooted to, is the anchor that you're hooked into. It is the gospel. You've got to hook in the gospel, the message. And the gospel is all about Jesus. Go with me to Romans chapter 9. Boy, Paul had a lot to say about not being ashamed, didn't he? Are you there or have you gone home today? Romans chapter 9, verse 33. As it is written, he's quoting Isaiah, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, And whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Say this, say, my faith in God will always produce results. How do you know if someone's in faith? They will produce results. Because it will work. Because God said, I'm the same God. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I cannot fail. God cannot fail. He's not about to go under. God will never need a bailout. He will never need a stimulus package. He will never fail. He will produce results. He will do what he said each and every time. And that's news so that we don't have to be ashamed. Go with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Let's look at verse 34. When he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Who's he talking to? Whosoever. Do we have any whosoevers in here today? I'm a whosoever. He gives us an invitation. If you want to come after me, you can come after me, but you're going to have to lay some things down. You're going to have to deny yourself of some things. But I thought the gospel was easy. It is, once you lay down your life. But I don't want to do that. That's the problem. God was willing to lay down his life for us. Why shouldn't he expect the same from us in return? Whosoever will, anybody can follow after the Lord. But the ones who are really serious are going to deny themselves, take up his cross, say his cross. That means as Lord, he gets to dictate what you do, where you go, and what you are. Well, I have all these great plans, Lord, but unless you have his approval, those plans are vain. Say, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Yeah, I am today. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to grow up today. It's a growing day. Who's talking here? Jesus is talking. Look at verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you try to keep your way of doing things, your plans, in the end, you're going to lose. But he said, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You want to save your life? Give it up. That doesn't make sense, but that's how the kingdom of God works. If you want to increase, you got to give. If you want to really find yourself, you know, people try to go to these places. I got to find myself. What happened? Did you lose yourself? You find yourself by losing yourself for God, for his sake, for the gospel's sake. You say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be. You know, I prayed that prayer. I can remember there was a time in my life I was working for a group home, and where I lived was about 15 or so blocks from this group home, and oftentimes I would walk home. And I would pray, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be. I didn't put any stipulations on it. I let the Lord tell me what he wanted me to do, where he wanted me to go. And I did that over a period of time. And then all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. And it was like placing a quarter into a machine. You know how when you put a quarter in a machine, you can hear it hit? It goes clunk or clink or whatever. Well, after I prayed that prayer, the Lord dropped something into my heart. He gave me an instruction on where he wanted me to go. And he gave me an inkling on what he wanted me to do, but it was up to me whether or not I did that. I asked the Lord, he showed me, but now the ball was in my court. And I had to go where he told me to go. And he told me to go to Tulsa. And at that time in my life, I'd never been to Tulsa. I was in Illinois. I was, you know, the land of corn and beans. But you know what? I committed myself to do whatever he wanted me to do. Do you know following Christ takes commitment? The gospel is not for wimps. It's for people who have a strong commitment to the Lord, because he's going to require some things of you. So I went, and it was awesome. And if I hadn't gone then, I wouldn't be here today. Verse 36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Did you know that your soul is more worth more than the world? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me. If you're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. Is that what he said? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want to be ashamed of the Lord or his words. You know, his words make up the message of the gospel. His life makes up the message of the gospel. What is the gospel? It is good news. The gospel does not require us to work, nor does it command us to do anything, but it's simply a reception of an offer. The gospel is an offer. It's an offer you can't refuse. God offers us grace and forgiveness from sin, and he offers us eternal salvation, and whosoever will receive the offer connects with the gospel. This person said it this way. He said, the gospel is the message of God, the teaching of Christianity, the redemption in and by Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, offered to all mankind. And as the gospel is bound up in the life of Christ, his biology and the record of his works and the proclamation of what he has to offer, this is the gospel. It is the gratuitous promise of the remission of sins for Christ's sake. To hold tenaciously that in this gospel we have supernatural revelation is in perfect consistency with the spirit of scientific inquiry. The gospel as the whole message and doctrine of salvation, and as chiefly efficacious of contrition, faith, justification, renewal, sanctification, it deals with the facts of revelation and experience. Basically, the gospel is good news. So when you're sharing the gospel, God wants us to emphasize the good news, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. Yes, God is a judge, and yes, he will judge, but he'll always show mercy first. He'll always show love first. God is a God of love. He is love. But the gospel is everything about Jesus Christ, his life, his works, his death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel. And to say that you're ashamed of the gospel, you're saying you're ashamed of Jesus. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And look at verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, say his custom. Did you know that Jesus was a churchgoer? As his custom was. He went to church regularly. We ran into a person yesterday. They said, they didn't go to church much as a child. They don't go to church now, but they're a Christian. And I thought to myself, I should have asked this question, but I didn't. And I should have said, would you like a doctor to operate on you that never went to medical school? Or would you like a lawyer to represent you that never went to law school? How can one be a Christian and not participate in the organization that Jesus started that he is the head of? You can be a Christian by making Jesus Christ your Lord, but the church is where you grow. The church is where you get to practice your love. They'll know we are Christians by our love for the animals? No, by our love for one another. You need some fellowship to see whether or not you're walking in love, because the love is the only true test of maturity. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, look, Jesus was reading the Bible in church. Of course, that was a synagogue, but you know, I'm just putting it in today's terms. He found the place where it was written. Can you find the place where things are written about you? Did you know that this is God's love letter to you? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, what's good news to a poor person? Good news is you can come up higher. You can raise the standard of living simply by believing this message. The gospel to the poor. Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to the good news to the poor. What's included in the gospel? He said, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Broken hearts can get healed by the gospel. Hallelujah. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. Freedom can be experienced from the gospel. And the recovering of the sight to the blind. Healing and restoration are part of the gospel. To set at liberty them that have been bruised. Have you been bruised? Have you been wounded? He wants to set you free. He wants to set you at liberty. That's part of the gospel. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the year of Jubilee. That's when everything is turned back to you. That's when slaves were set free. Property was returned. Things were restored. That means you might have had a struggle, but when the year of Jubilee came, you were all right. It is the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And he closed the book. Maybe it was a Gideon's book. I don't know. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the gospel. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 through 4. This is the gospel message. You know, Jesus made the gospel so simple. Why? Because he wants everybody, from the intellectual to the ignorant, to come into the knowledge of the truth. He made it so simple that you don't need an education. Not that there's anything wrong with an education, but you don't need it to receive the gospel. All you need is faith in your heart. All you need to do is believe, is to connect with the gospel. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand. See, once you receive the gospel, you got to stand. You got to endure. You know, you can't be like a plant that's planted in a rocky garden, that you spring up and you're only there for a while, but when the sun comes, when persecution comes, you kind of wade and you kind of fade and you kind of wither. To embrace the gospel means to be a person of endurance. To hold it from the beginning to the end. So you got to stand in the gospel once you receive it. Verse 2, by which also you are saved. It releases power to connect you with the Father, to give you a right relationship with him. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose again, and you receiving him, that's the gospel. The gospel is not about going to church. When we stand before the Lord, you're not going to be able to say, oh yeah, I went to VCF, so therefore I must get in. No. Hey, going to VCF is good. But if you haven't believed, if you haven't exercised a personal faith in Jesus Christ, you are not saved. You cannot say, oh, Jesus, I was a good person. Good works cannot get you in. If we could be good enough, Jesus would have never had to come. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 tells us it's not by works wherein we can boast. It's a gift of God. It's by grace are we saved. Through faith. We got what we didn't deserve. Grace. You can't be good enough to get into heaven. You can't be part of the right family to get into heaven. You can't have a certain name to get into heaven. You can't be the wealthiest person or the poorest person to get into heaven. It's not about any of that. It's about having Jesus Christ as Lord. It's about accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. So if you're trusting in anything else, and we encountered people yesterday, they said, I would ask them, if you were to stand before the Lord and he was to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? They said, because of my good deeds. They're trusting in good works to get them into heaven. Can't get there by good works. You can only get there by putting faith in Jesus Christ alone. So I want you to know that today. I want you to know the gospel. You got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to work. Jesus said, if you try to come in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. The gospel is good news. It is the offer of a lifetime. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote this. He wrote these words when he came to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Go with me to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. I want you to hear something. Paul was speaking this of his own life in verse 3. He said, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you are all this day. Paul, he studied the law. He sat at the feet of a great teacher. He became a Pharisee. Verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Paul would cast his vote to sentence a Christian to death. He held the clothes of them that stoned Stephen, who was the first martyr. And Acts 8:1 says he consented to his death. He approved of them killing Stephen, who was falsely accused. Paul the apostle, he approved of this. He was a persecutor. He threatened the church. He persecuted the way. Verse 5. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. Who was he after? He was after Christians. Anybody that put their faith in Jesus Christ, Paul had a letter to come into Damascus. He could come, he could arrest you, he could treat you badly, and he could take you as a prisoner just because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. This is the man who said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. God had another plan for Paul. While he was on that road to Damascus, God said, I'm going to show myself to Paul. And while he was on that road to Damascus, a great light shone around him. And Paul had a moment of awakening. And when he saw that light, and a voice spoke to him in Aramaic, and Paul went down on his knees, he said, Lord, Lord. Now the people that were with Paul, they saw the light, but they didn't understand the voice. And Jesus said, Paul, why do you kick against the pricks? Why do you persecute me, Paul? But see, Paul thought he was doing right. Paul was very zealous. Paul had the backing of the religious leaders of his day. This was the man who said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And there on that road, when he met Jesus face to face, and they finished their conversation, Paul couldn't see. So they led him back to where he was staying. And for 3 days, Paul could not see. He could not use the faculties that he once used before. He could not look to see whether or not people were Christians to take them captive. But Paul had time to think. He had time to dwell on the gospel. Jesus himself came to give him the gospel. And Paul was shown how many things he was going to suffer. How many would be so willing to go into the ministry knowing you're going to suffer things ahead of time? I ain't going to the ministry. I don't want to go through that. But see, when you get to the point when you're not ashamed of the gospel, you will go through anything. You will be willing to face death because you're so in love with Jesus, because these things of this life don't matter so much. It's the eternity that you're focused on. Paul got so caught up in eternal things. He didn't care about this life. He didn't care if he was beat. He didn't care if he was in prison. He didn't care if he was persecuted, because he was so in love with Jesus when he wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. How do you know if someone believes, whether or not they do, whether or not they express their beliefs in action? Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. See, Paul didn't just make that statement, but he went through some things. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 13. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for he that counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He was violent, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The reason Paul could say that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because he experienced great depths of mercy. He encountered the love of God, and it totally transformed his life. He went from persecuting the church to preaching about faith and to preaching about Jesus. He wrote half the New Testament. You talk about the power to transform someone's life. He was a murderer. He went from a murderer to a lover, because he encountered the power that's in the gospel. And he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. This is who wrote that phrase by the Holy Spirit. Paul, the great apostle. And he was told the things that he was going to suffer. But yet, through all the things he went through, he still was able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 2 Corinthians, verse 26, chapter 11. Well, let's go to verse 24. This is the man who said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. He was whipped 39 times, 5 different occasions. But yet he was still able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 25, 3 times was I beaten with rods, but yet he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Once was I stoned. He was stoned outside of Derby and left for dead for preaching the gospel. But yet he could still say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And how many things do we go through and we're like, oh God, oh God, oh God. We begin to complain and whine. Well, yeah, let me whip you 39 times, 5 different times, and let's see how you feel then. If you think you're going through things that are so bad that causes you to complain so much, let's trade places with Paul for a little bit and see if we have anything to complain about. You know, he had a traveling hit squad of Jews. There was 40 Jews that vowed they weren't going to eat until Paul was dead. And everywhere that Paul had a meeting, they showed up. And they would stir up the crowds. They were motivated by a demonic spirit. Why do you think when Paul went to the Galatians, they said, you would have plucked out your eyes from me? Paul was one big walking bruise. Why do you think Luke, the physician, needed to travel with Paul? If anybody needed a doctor, it was the Apostle Paul. But yet, he said, I am not ashamed. Even when he sought the Lord, he said, Lord, you need to take this away 3 times. He had a demon spirit assigned to beat him wherever he went. You know, there were times that Paul had to be let down with a net at night because they found out a plot to kill him. Yeah, let's see how excited about the gospel you are then. And we complain about stuff that is so trivial. Stuff that has no eternal value. And yet Paul went through all this stuff. And he said, I am not ashamed. I will not hold back. I will not quit telling people about Jesus. I will not give up believing. I will not stop walking with the Lord. I don't care what I go through. And Paul got to the point and said, I'm ready to die. He knew when he was ready to go to Rome that he was going to die. Because Agabus the prophet put a belt around his hand signifying the death that Paul was going to die. Listen to this. Acts 9, 23 through 25. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. I'm glad I don't have to watch the parking lot here day and night for people to come kill me. That's when he was let down by night. Acts 13, 45 through 47. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Yet he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Acts 13, 50 to 52. The Jews stirred up devout and prominent women and chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And look at verse 52. After they're going through this, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Persecution brought joy to those who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we quit talking about Jesus when someone says, I don't want to hear about Jesus. Or we're afraid to pray over our food at the workplace. We say a silent prayer. You know, with one eye open, make sure no one's looking at us. Listen, we have got to get to the point where we're not ashamed to live for Jesus. We're not ashamed to tell people about Jesus. We're not ashamed to pray in Walmart. I think we ought to have a healing service at the meat aisle in Walmart. Most of the miracles took place in the marketplace. It didn't occur in church. It occurred out there. Problem is, devil applies a little bit of pressure and we shrink back. We become reluctant because did you know that shame, guilt, and condemnation are witnesses that the devil brings to court to testify against you? But guess what? If you just hang in there, God will throw that case out of court. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who love not their lives to death. You don't have condemnation. The devil can't pin anything on you because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm almost finished. Look at Acts 14, 2 and 3. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Yet I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Acts 17, 13. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. You guys are a quiet crowd today. I don't have to worry about you getting too stirred up. But this occurred everywhere that Paul preached. He had to fight through every sermon sometimes. But yet he was not ashamed. In other words, he was saying, you could beat me to a pulp, but you're not going to shut me up. You know when the disciples, after the resurrection and after the day of Pentecost, they were told not to preach about the resurrection? And they said, should we obey man or God? In other words, you can tell me to shut up, but I'm not going to shut up. Why? See, when you get to the point when you're not ashamed, you're going to apply some peer pressure. Let's turn the prayer pressure on the world against them. When the devil gets loud, you get louder. If the devil gets a microphone, you get bigger speakers. Come on now. We don't have anything to be ashamed about in this book because it is the truth. And when you know the truth, it will set you free. Acts 20, verse 3, the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria. He decided to return through Macedonia. Finally, he just told him, he said, I'm not going to the Jews anymore. I'm going to the Gentiles. That's what he was called to. The Jews were actually third on the list. He was called the kings, Gentiles, and the Jews. But he kept going to the Jews first because Paul was a Jew. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And he had a heart for the Jews. He said, I would give my own life if my countrymen would get saved. He had such a desire. But what's my point today? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be unwilling to participate in the gospel. Don't be unwilling to live the gospel. You know what? We're in the last days and we need to kick it up a notch. Listen, there are things that are happening in this world on a quicker scale. And the enemy has the destruction of this world on his agenda. And things are happening in our world, in our country, at a more rapid pace. And we do not need people sitting on the sidelines. We need you to get into the game. We need you to get involved. We need you to increase. It's not to say, oh, well, they're doing it. I'll just let them do it. No. Do you know the group that told Jesus, oh, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We prophesied in your name. But he said, I never knew you. Because they themselves did not do it as individuals. You might be part of a church that does it, but you yourself never do it. The Lord may say he never knows you. And when he says he don't know you, you're not going to get in because the gospel is about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you today. If Paul, who was whipped 5 times, beaten with rods, stoned, left for dead, abandoned. He was in danger. He spent a night and a day in the deep. And yet he could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He knew what he was going to have to go through before he went through it. He knew he was going to have to suffer. But yet he could still say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He was he got even more bold about his witness. He started several churches. He wrote half the New Testament. See, there's no limit what you can do when you get to the point when you're not ashamed of the gospel. It will invigorate you. It will strengthen you. And yes, the devil will challenge you, but you will overcome every challenge. You will have the victory. You know what caused the city of Nineveh to repent? They heard the message of the gospel. The message was, in 40 days, your city's going to be destroyed. How do we know they believed? Because they acted on that. From the king to the people, they all began to repent and turn from their wicked ways. See, they used their faith to receive the power of the message to change their situation, and their city was saved. I did some research, and there were some different things, but there was about 140,000 people living in Nineveh at the time of Jonah. And it took a 3-day journey to walk the length of the country, of the city. But yet, because they heard the message, they believed that message. And when they believed that message, they saved their city from destruction. And that's what the gospel is. When you believe it, it will deliver you from whatever you're facing. Ultimately, it delivers you from sin, from hell, from destruction. Now, I'm looking for a group of people that aren't ashamed of the gospel. It's time that we need to kick it up a notch. God is asking more of you. He's asking you to deny yourself, to pick up his cross, and to follow him, and to do that which is right in his sight. And you got to get to the point where you love Jesus so much that you can say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And we can take this whole community for the Lord. Think about it. When you get a group of people together that aren't ashamed of the gospel, and you turn them loose, the church only started with 120 people. Then it grew from there to 3,000, then up to 5,000. Then God added to them daily such as should be saved. 120 people shook up the universe. Think about that. Because when you're with God, you're a majority. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise today. Thank you for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And what you've come to give us, Father, we receive your offer. And we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone, for that's the only way that you can be saved. That's the only way that you can know that you would spend eternity in heaven. And Lord, I just pray over these right now, Father. I pray, Father, that you would ignite a fire within their hearts. Lord, you would cause them to be passionate and zealous for the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for what you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. Amen.